Another short reading. This one is from John chapter 6, from verse 58. John 6, from verse 58. Jesus, speaking of himself, says, "This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever." These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen. Let's just pray again. Father, we do pray that you would speak now to our hearts, to reveal yourself to us in the midst of unbelief, that you would bring the light of the gospel, and that there might be belief. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to speak tonight on the subject of believing in the midst of unbelief. Believing in the midst of unbelief. In the lead up to the passage that we've read, Jesus has been teaching the people some very deep truths. He's been teaching them about how they're to have a relationship with him. And he's speaking about some very difficult things for them to grasp. And when we come into this bit that we read, we suddenly find that people are wandering off, and they cannot grasp really what Jesus is saying. It's too much for them. It's too deep for them. And they say, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" This like they're saying, this is just something that is too difficult for us. And then verse 66, it says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." So it's as if they had come and they had spent time with Jesus and they had heard something of the gospel. But there came a time when Jesus was speaking to them when it simply became too much for them. And they wandered off and said, we cannot continue with this man. We cannot continue with, as it were, Christianity. We cannot continue with the gospel. And so he says to the 12 disciples, "Are you also going to go away? Are you going to leave me as well?" And Peter says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." I really just want to challenge us this evening. Where do we stand? We may be in the position tonight where we have some sort of belief that there is a God, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he came into the world to save sinners. And yet we may have many doubts in our hearts about so many other things. There are so many other things perhaps that we are hearing about that we find difficult. We find a great challenge. And we say, well, that is too much for us. But I want to ask us tonight, on which way will we go in response to that? Will we wander off when we have these doubts, when we have these moments of unbelief, and say that this is too much for me, and as a result of the things that I don't understand, as a result of the things that I don't grasp, I'm going to wander off? Or are we going to turn to God and, like Peter here, make that definite decision that in spite of small things in his heart, small bits of unbelief, things that he's not quite sure about, yet he's going to believe God because he has a certainty in his heart that in spite of everything, that Jesus Christ is, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now I want to ask you tonight, have you come to that place where you know that the Bible is true? You know that God is real. You know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know that he died on the cross for your sins. Yet you have these certain things, certain bits of unbelief. I wonder tonight, are you willing? Are you willing to turn to God with all your heart and say, I put my trust in you tonight, not because of who I am, but because of who you are, O God. And I may have certain bits of unbelief in my heart, and yet I'm not basing my faith on who I am, but I'm basing my faith on who you are, O God. And I'm coming to you, God, on the basis of who you are, on the basis of the Lord Jesus and what he's done on the cross, knowing that you will receive me. You see, sometimes we think that we've got to get everything sorted out in our hearts and our lives in order to come to God. But he wants us to come to him as we are, simply acknowledging where we stand before him, acknowledging the sin that's in our hearts, acknowledging even those bits of unbelief, and say, well, this area is too much for me, this area is difficult for me, but I know, Jesus, that you are the Christ, you're the Son of the living God, you came into this world to save me, and I'm going to believe you, and I'm going to move forward with you, confessing my sin, getting right with you, and Lord, you will take care of the areas of unbelief. I want to look at another example of belief in the midst of unbelief, and this one is from Mark in chapter 9. In this story, there's a man and he has a son who has a demon, and it describes the son. Wheresoever the spirit takes him, it tears him, and he foams, and he gnashes with his teeth, and he pines away. Now, this man obviously is very concerned about the state of his son, and he brings the son to the disciples of Jesus in order that the son might be healed and delivered of the demon. But he finds that when he comes to the disciples, that they're unable to deal with the demon. Seems they don't have the power to do it. So Jesus coming along, there's this crowd with the disciples, and obviously they're discussing it and sort of arguing and so forth. And Jesus is saying what's going on, and they explain the situation to Jesus. And Jesus says to them, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring the child to me. And so the child is brought to him, and straightway he's under this demon attack, and he's being torn about on the ground, and the child is foaming on the ground. And the Lord asks the man, how long has he been like this? And the man says, as a young child. But then the man says to Jesus, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus says to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So you see the importance of belief. It's very important that we believe. We have to come to God with belief in our hearts. But the man responds, the father of the child cries out, and he says with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. You see, he comes to Jesus, and he's in this position where he believes, but he also has unbelief. And he hasn't got everything sorted out. He hasn't got his teaching, his understanding of Christian things perfectly sorted out. But he comes to Jesus with some belief in his heart. And in response to this, Jesus can do something. And he says, yes, Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. Help me with the areas that I can't do anything about. I do believe that you are who you say you are. And so Jesus commands the spirit to leave him. And he does. And the child is made whole. And so again, the man comes to Jesus not on the basis of who he himself is, because he as himself is a failure. He's not getting things right. He has these areas of unbelief in his heart. And he can't, as it were, make it all the way to God. But he comes with that belief that Jesus is who he says he is. And the Lord receives him on that basis. And I wonder tonight, are we willing to take that step towards the Lord? And then a third and final example of belief in the midst of unbelief. When Jesus was being crucified, you have many people looking on at Jesus with no belief at all, and they are doubting that he is who he says he is. It says in Matthew 27, verse 39, "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross.'" And one of the thieves that was being crucified next to Jesus also mocked him. And again, when Jesus cried out, some others were sort of looking on and sort of wondering what was going on. And they said, "Let us see whether Elijah will come to save Jesus." But it says that when Jesus died, when he, as it were, yielded up his spirit, he said a number of remarkable things happened. And one of the things that was evident in the midst was that there was a great earthquake after Jesus had given up the spirit. And it says in verse 54 of Matthew 27, "Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" And they were surrounded by people who were not believing that Jesus was who he said he was. And yet, this centurion, a hardened soldier, looking on, he grasped in his heart this key thing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And whatever had been going on before, in his heart, the unbelief that was there before and the unbelief that was surrounding him, at this point he comes to the place where he himself believes with all his heart that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And he believed and he responded on him. Now I want to challenge you tonight. You've perhaps heard the gospel many times, and you've come to that place where you do believe that it is true. You believe that it is true. You believe the Bible. And yet something hasn't happened in your heart, that final step of coming to God and admitting your sins and getting right with God properly for the first time. And I want to challenge you tonight that if that is you, if that is you, that you would come to God tonight and say, "Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I deserve to be punished for my sin. But I believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he died in my place to take away my sins so that I could be forgiven. And I maybe have not got everything right before, and maybe I'm in a state of unbelief, but I want to come to you now, God, on the basis of who you are. And I want to have my sins forgiven tonight and know that I am right with you and have that certainty in my heart that when you return, I will be with you forever." You see, this is the promise that God makes, that whoever comes to him, he will not turn away. And if we are willing to come to him tonight with all our heart, confessing our sins and confessing even our unbelief, God will receive us on the basis not of who we are, but on the basis of his Son Jesus Christ and what he did when he died upon the cross for us. Let's just bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you as we are, on the basis of you, on the basis of the Lord Jesus and the blood that he shed on Calvary, and that we can be forgiven all our sins because of him and get wholly right by the washing of that blood. Lord, we pray that any here who need to take that step, perhaps with some belief in their hearts, but not having everything right. We pray that you would enable them even now just to respond to you and yield to you and take that step of faith and receive you into their hearts. We pray in the name of Jesus.
Let us close this time of worship, shall we, with hymn number 335 in the Redemption Hymnal, the Red Hymn Book. 335. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. It's number 335.